By now, you know that Newt Gingrich handily won the South Carolina primary by a 2-digit margin over Mitt Romney. Or in gamer parlance, Romney got pwned. Political rhetoric is quite adept at fierce, competitive language, and political campaigns borrow freely from the psychology, strategy, and language of war, sport, and the emerging clout of video games. The BBC's Kate Daly, senior writer for the BBC News magazine, wrote about how tech-savvy politicos plan to benefit from the new class of smartphone apps that combines social connectivity with competitive drive. She joins us now to talk more about political gamification and why candidates may be plugging in. Kate, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me.
So appealing to the competitive spirit in politics isn't new. What is different now about how campaigns could use gamification, as you call it, in the future?
What's new right now is the massive scale that campaigns are able to utilize right now. Before, they might have a whiteboard in their office keeping track of how many voters each campaign worker registered and, you know, give points and awards based on that. Now they can access the entire country and try and get all their supporters across the country involved and organized towards a common goal. So the scale of it means that they can do a lot more things that they couldn't do before, a lot more cheaply than they could have had before as well.
One digital advertising firm that you write about, Engage, is working with political clients, helping them gamify their campaigns. Now, here's an example. House Speaker John Boehner's website. Here's a video of Boehner welcoming visitors into the fold.
Hello and welcome to TeamBoehner.com, where you can earn rewards for the action you take online on behalf of our shared conservative values. Signing up is easy. There's no excuse. Get started now.
Members of Team Boehner. Is the goal more for that kind of wow factor or invigorating staffers? Or do you see gamification actually being able to win over undecided voters either now or in the future?
Well, and that's the real trick with all political campaigning. The hardest part is to get people to actually change their behavior, to either put up a leaflet they weren't going to put up before or make a donation they weren't going to make before, or in the end, cast their vote in a way that they weren't going to do before. And so to move that from the digital realm of checking in and getting points and, you know, earning status points on Facebook to the physical realm is something that people and strategists are still really struggling with. We've yet to see any campaign really fully embrace the potential of gaming, but experts think that in the next couple of years, and maybe even in the general election, we'll see people using it a lot more.
How about the gaming firms and developers? I mean, is Engage a bipartisan organization? Will they work with anyone, just GOP?
Engage mostly works with conservative clients. They've worked with Scott Brown. They're working with Eric Boehner. And there are firms on the other side of the aisle who are helping the Dems with their strategy. And then there are some people I talk to who do gamification apps for the government, will do things, say, for, you know, the Department of Health and Human Services, but don't want to get involved in politics because they feel like that's a tricky line to cross. The concept of gamification as it's currently being used is a controversial one in the gaming community, because some people think that it's just kind of helping perpetuate business as usual, when some gamers really want to use games to help challenge the system and better educate voters.
Well, Howard Dean's campaign in 2004, Democratic contender, was held up as, you know, crossing many Rubicons as far as online donations were made. But there was also a Howard Dean for Iowa game, now, which you can still play online. We're going to give you a little bit of an idea what that looks like. Word of Mouth producer Taylor Quimby and our adventurous intern Danielle Lima gave it a try.
Knock on all the doors to encourage voters to go to the caucus. Click to select a canvasser, then click on a house to knock and avoid the dogs. Okay. This looks like I'm on a nice little residential street here. I'm going to click on this green blonde woman for the second house. Okay. Oh, I just got barked at by a dog.
Hand out Howard Dean's Common Sense for a New Century to as many people as you can. Click the spot you want to move to. Catch passersby to hand out the pamphlets. So I'm going to click play. Now I'm kind of in a snowy park. I'm a little blue guy with a red hat.
I think my first instinct about this game is that nobody would really want to play a game where you do something as boring and potentially awful as I imagine canvassing can be. But then again, you've got some city, you've got some people, you've got lots of games where the object is to perform relatively mundane tasks. So who knows?
Okay, so they're not quite saving humanity here, but kind of silly, maybe an early attempt. Now, you spoke with the creator of that game, Ian Bogost, if I'm pronouncing that right. How does he view nerdy efforts at gamification, the badges and points model?
He's not a fan of the badges and points model, and he sees a big difference between what he did in the Howard Dean game versus what you know, we might see on the Boehner site or other efforts where you try to reward people for actions. What he said they were trying to do was that with Dean, you had a lot of voters who were new to politics and who were being politically engaged for the first time in their lives and wanted to help out but didn't know what they meant. They didn't know what it meant to come to the office and help out. They weren't sure how to help. So this game let them sort of pretend to be canvassers, pretend to be campaigners, so they would understand what the process was like. Now, Dr. Bogus sees that as very different than kind of giving people little badges and points for trying to, promote the candidate on Facebook. To him, that's more politics as usual. And he thinks that a game should really help people explore worlds they don't understand and come away with a better understanding of how things work and what their role in that system should be.
So sort of like a flight simulator for canvassers or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his goal, when they made this game in 2004, they really thought that gaming was going to be the direct future of political campaigning, and that every candidate would have an Xbox game where they explained their positions, where candidates or players could go through and make candidates kind of defend how they feel about certain actions and understand how those actions and those positions affected the individual voters. But that was in 2004. What happened right after 2004 and after those elections was Facebook and YouTube. So that really became this sort of online component that elections took, and we saw that a lot in 2008. Now he thinks that campaigns will get back to gamification in 2012 and beyond, but he's worried that we're not quite doing it the right way.
Well, and it's also an appeal, it seems to me, to a younger demographic. I mean, the people who are voting now, turning out for elections, are generally much older and often senior Americans.
Right, but there's going to come a time when the voters, middle-aged people, even senior citizens, are people who have grown up on video games. And it's really something where you want to engage people early because people tend to pick a side and stick with it. And so if you can get to those voters early on and get them on your side, that can make a big difference. And also, you don't want to underestimate the fact that there are a lot of baby boomers and senior citizens who are active in video games.
I'm thinking of game coverage, I'm sorry, political coverage, there's the Freudian slip, on television, these sort of big screens, the red and blue, a lot of graphics. It almost seems like the media will probably be the first to embrace this kind of trend. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, politics and gaming overlap in a lot of different ways. There's a challenger, there's a race, you're trying to compete for points and win, eventually an election. So there is a lot of overlap, and you've already seen the networks getting in on the act by trying to embrace technology any way possible. And those giant maps they put up on election night, the giant holograms they beam into the studio, people are really at a point right now where they know that the internet, they know that social media and technology is going to play a huge role in the elections, and they're not quite sure how. So what we're seeing right now, I think, is a lot of people, the networks especially, just trying out everything. And some things are going to be more successful and some things not. But the big thing about gamification is that it really is interactive. Even with going to a website or sending an email to a candidate that you like, it's really a one-sided interaction. You can log your question for the candidate, but there's no guarantee that they'll read it. And with gamification, you can get an instant response, and people respond to that.
Of course. Kate Daly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Kate Daly is a senior reporter for the BBC. She also writes for BBC Magazine. You can find a link to her article on the gamification of presidential politics, as well as links to the site of Team Boehner and that Howard Dean for Iowa game. Maybe ends with a scream. And everything else we mention here today at wordofmouthradio.org. Now coming up, another social experiment from South American slums, a vision of music as the foundation for social change. That's when Word of Mouth continues after the news from the BBC. This is New Hampshire Public Radio, and we're online anytime at wordofmouthradio.org, on Facebook, and on Twitter.